Good morning. Thanks for giving to this mission. It's a good mission, isn't it? A lot of people in the community get fed by your generosity. I want to thank you for worshiping with us. We have the Hobbs family back here. Raise your hand. Sorry for your loss. Continue to pray for you guys. And that visitation will be from 1 to 4 at Em and Stacy today if you want to be a part of that. Funeral tomorrow at 1. Also have some Stoltzes here. Stoltz. Anybody else visiting with us? If you're online, hello. Thanks for joining us today. This past Friday, Roger and Katie took some kids ice skating. How many do you have to go with you? 17. I don't think they broke any bodies, but there's sure some bruised bodies. I'll guarantee you one in the second row, there's a little bit bruised, but... okay. I've never ice skated. Anyone else? I've never did that. I always figure walking with my shoes is just about as good as I can get, but we'll call it that. I'm glad they had a good time. We don't say it enough, these two rows up here, including Sonny and his family, they're the future of the church, right? Amen. And we invest wisely in them. Well, we've been in a sermon series on the book of James. Don't turn to the book of James, we're not going to cover it today, because this coming Thursday is Thanksgiving. You are a circus. Hey, before we begin this morning, what are you thankful for? Huh? Family, what else? Church? Your house? Got a place to live? Anyone else thankful for something? Thankful for Jesus, what? Thankful for today is what you said? All right, amen. Anyone else? Our country, our freedom we live in. How about what happened in 1621? We're grateful for those men and women who are willing to brave their way over here so that we might have, here it is, Congress, Republicans, Democrats, wherever you are, freedom of religion, amen. That's why they came over here. So we're going to skip that today so we can focus on Thanksgiving. My wife did something crazy this week. She put up Christmas decorations. Everybody go, oh. That's crazy. Who does that? This is Thanksgiving. We're supposed to put up turkey and the pilgrims and all that stuff. But she's putting up Christmas, and I don't help her anymore because she puts it up too early. I don't even get to celebrate Thanksgiving, and she's already got these snowmen and things laying around our house. But men don't do that, right? And men don't Christmas shop early either. We don't go until about the 23rd of December. That's when we go. But I want you to know today we have a lot to be thankful for. We really do. We can come into this place and worship freely. And I'm not worried about somebody coming in there with a gun. It could happen. But I want you to know that it probably won't. And it usually don't. I'm glad about that. Because we have the freedom to worship God here in America. And that freedom, we pray that that continues until Christ comes back. Today I want to talk to you about when you're down on Thanksgiving. How many of you are down on Thanksgiving this Thanksgiving season? Don't raise your hand. But maybe you are because of some circumstances or things that's happened in your life. Maybe it's financial, physical, maybe it's spiritual, whatever it is. But it's easy to get down on Thanksgiving and fail to give thanks. But I want you to know that we have so much to be thankful for every single day of our life. And we ought to get up in the morning and give thanks. We ought to do that. And if you don't like living here in the good old US of A, I'm not saying this out of meanness. Just go somewhere else. Amen. Because there's a lot of men and women have sacrificed so that we can have freedom here in America. And I still like the good old USA. I do. In spite of some of the problems that they need to repent of. Today I want to focus mainly on one verse. If you have your Bibles or smartphones, turn over to Ephesians 5, chapter 20. And we'll get to that in just a second. I'll give you a second to get there. Go ahead. It's in the New Testament. About halfway through the New Testament, you'll find it. Listen up, very simply. Paul says in Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want you to circle, underline, highlight, whatever you want to do. I want you to mark that word, everything, because that is a huge word. Always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything. Good things, bad things, everything. And we'll get to that in just a second. And whatever you're going through this Thanksgiving season, I want you to know that you can still give thanks because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you have your bulletins pulling out, I'm going to get right in the outline this morning. And to follow along, if you will, I want to look at three things to consider when you don't feel like giving thanks. Number one, first of all, I want us to look at the duration of Thanksgiving. How long, how often, how many times should we give thanks? Have you ever been around someone that no matter how good things seem to be going in their life, they're unthankful? Ever been around somebody like that? They tend to complain about this and complain about that. Oh, me, poor me. And they give themselves a pity patty party. They're never thankful about anything. And people like that just irk me. I don't know if that's in the dictionary, but it is now. They just irk me. I mean, they can't give thanks for anything. Well, write them down. There are four types of people that you need to be aware of this Thanksgiving season. First of all, there are the constant complainers. They complain about everything. They complain about the weather. They complain about food. They complain about their clothes. They complain about their car. They complain about their house. If you hung them with a new rope, they would complain. One woman was married to a man like that. He never could be pleased no matter what was going on in his life. Well, one morning, his wife decided, I'm going to try to please him. So she climbed out of bed and she said, "Sweetheart, what would you like for breakfast? I'll fix anything you want." He said, "All right, I want two pieces of toast. I want one rye and the other wheat. One buttered, the other plain. I want two or three pieces of bacon. And I want two eggs, one scrambled and one over easy." She said, "Okay, no problem." So she fixed his favorite breakfast. And she presented it to him, and he still had a frown on his face. And she said these words, "Honey, what's wrong? You look so upset. I fixed your favorite meal." And he said, You scrambled the wrong egg." Have you ever been around people like, be careful next time your wife fixes eggs. Some people complain about everything. You know what I do? I tend to stay away from them. Anyone else? Because if you don't, guess what? You'll start complaining too, just like them. Well, there's a second group of people, and they are the ones I call the ungrateful thinker. These are the people who don't go around verbally complaining, but you can tell by their facial expression and by the way they act, they are complainers inside of themselves. If that describes you, will you please raise your hand? All right, we have an honest person right down here on front. But they just tend to be negative no matter what's going on in life. And when they crawl out on the wrong side of the bed every single day, they do that. Well, there's a third person or third people. I call them the obvious thinkers. They're the ones that are thankful for their health. They're thankful for their wealth. They're thankful for the food on the table and the turkey and the dressings and the cranberry sauce. I don't know. Am I making you guys hungry yet? But they thank God when things are going good in their life. But guess what? When things go wrong, when they hit a hard spot in life, they're not thankful anymore. What would we be like if God gave us everything we wanted? What would we be like if God answered every one of our prayers the way that we wanted our prayers to be answered? We would be spoilt brats. And that's what a lot of people want. But I want you to know, when you go through hard times, that is a chance for you, your faith to grow, and for you to rely more on Christ and less on yourself. Well, there's a fourth group of people. These are what I call the constant thinkers. They are thankful no matter what. In good times, in bad times, they are thankful to God. These people make me sick. Because I'm not there yet. Anyone else? They just got a smile on their face. It don't matter what's going on in their life, how bad things have got. They just smile all the time. And I just want to go up and say, "What's wrong with you? Is there something wrong with you?" Check their fever and see if they're sick or not. Do you got the COVID? That's not a joke no more, is it? But you know what? Maybe they're just happy because they have Jesus Christ down in their heart. And they are the constant thinkers. They're thanking God all the time. So be honest with me this morning. Are you a constant thinker? Nobody. Nobody gives thanks all the time, even in good times and bad times. Not too many of us are. But as hard as it is, we should always give thanks for something because of the blessings that God promises us through His Word. And when we're going through hard times, we don't thank Him necessarily for the hard times we're going through, but we thank Him for what the result is because it draws us closer to Christ. How many of you have a house to live in? How many have a car to drive? How many of you have food in the freezer and you haven't got to the bottom of that freezer for years and years and years, and you know there's food down there, but God has blessed you so much that you are what I call top shelf freezers. You're eating off the top because the blessings have come and you haven't dug in the bottom. Well, I've been digging in the bottom, and my wife, she has this vegetable. It's called macaw. And I'm looking for the deer meat. I'm not looking for macaw because I'm going to tell you, Chin, close your eyes, your ears. It's terrible. It's awful. And she's got so much macaw in there. You don't know what that is. Write down macaw. She's got so much macaw that it puts off a bad taste or scent to my deer meat. So we got a problem in our family, so we're going to have to talk about it. So what I did this weekend is I killed two deer. I'm going to overtake her macaw with my deer. Praise God for deer meat. Amen. Psalm 68:19, follow along. Praise be to God, the God of our salvation, who daily bears our burdens. The King James Bible, if you have that, it says this: Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, the God of our salvation. And if you look up that scripture in your Bibles, just off to the bottom of that, it says Selah. Does anybody want to guess what that means? It means to think about it, to meditate on it. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Do you realize what God has given you? If you don't, go to Africa. You know, they always say that Haiti's the poorest country. I don't believe that. I've seen people come out of Africa. I've seen people come out of, I've been to Burma, and I've seen poor people in third world countries. They have absolutely nothing. I gave a kid a quarter one time, and he thought I gave him the entire world. And I realized that a quarter means the world to a lot of people. To us, it'd be like $25,000, but to them, a quarter, it's everything. They have nothing. Someone has said that God gives us a wagon load of blessings. How many believe that? A wagon load of blessings. In Lamentations 3, verse 23, Solomon says, God's blessings are new every single morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I love that song. Every morning when you crawl out of bed, and you young people can still jump out of bed. I'm not there anymore. I just kind of crawl out of bed, and I say, Lord, thank you for today. Lord, thank you for the house that you give me. Lord, thank you for the car I drive, the food I have on my table. Lord, thank you for this church. Amen. Thank you for the fact that we can come here and worship every Lord's Day and not be persecuted for it for the most part. I think a day's coming, don't you? We'll be persecuted for our faith, but we're not quite there yet. It's coming. The Apostle Paul takes it a step further, and he says in Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything. Underline that. Do not be anxious about anything. Don't worry about it. How many worry warts we have today? Thank you for being honest. There's a lot of us. You're just not admitting it. After a while, you might admit to it. He says, be thankful, or be not anxious about anything, but here's another word, in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Beginning today, I want you to do me a favor. Write it down on your outline. I want you to get up in the morning and don't complain to God. I want you to give thanks to God. Lord, thank you for my house, my wife, my husband, my whatever it is. I want you to give thanks for it. And then when you get done giving thanks, then you can present your request to God for whatever else is on your heart and mind. Can you do that for me? Give thanks. Give thanks also, not only is a duration of thanksgiving, but secondly, it is the dimension of thanksgiving. The dimension here in Ephesians 5:20 is everything. And if you look up that word in the dictionary or in the Bible commentary, guess what it is? You already know. It's everything. We're supposed to give God thanks for everything. Now, if Paul said give thanks always, and that's all he said, that would be easy. We can give thanks to God always, all the time. But he says, give thanks always for everything. That is good things and the bad things that happen to us in life. Now I want you to know today that I'm not there yet. I'm not going to get up in the morning and I'm not going to say, God, thank you for this persecution that I'm going through. Lord, thank you for this person that has been a thorn in my side. Will you please remove him? Lord, thank you for this. Lord, thank you for that. Things are going bad in my life. I've not arrived yet. Anyone else? That's tough. But when you think about what Jesus did for you on the cross, the fact that he died for you, a man, a Savior without sin, he still died for you, it's easy for us to give thanks. Now back up one verse in Ephesians 5:19. Paul says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. How many of you get up in the morning singing? How many of you sing in the shower? How many of you sound terrible in the shower, even though you sing in the shower? So I want your spouse to record you the next time you sing in the shower, and we're going to play it for everybody to hear. And we'll see how good you really are. But here, God has a way of taking your voice that may not be geared for singing, and he can make it into something beautiful. How many of you believe that? He can do that. And he does. I see people singing on the road. They're in their car and they're singing and they got their music turned up, and I don't do that usually, not very often. And they can go from here to Florida and they got their music turned up and their ears are going bad and they wonder why they can't hear anything when they're old. And they're singing and they look weird. I mean, their mouth's going like this. You think they're talking to somebody. Sometimes they are, but sometimes they're just singing. But they're happy. Did you know that singing makes us happy? It does. It helps. When we're going through hard times, just start singing. I'm not going to sing. I thought about singing something I'm not going to do. But it is our way of praising God for the many blessings he has given us. Now, if you're here this morning, your life's been tough. I mean, it stinks. It's been difficult. And you're having a hard time giving thanks. Just remember what Jesus did for you on the cross. Now, your Hobbs family, I know you're going through a hard time because of the loss of your dad and your father-in-law. But he was 86 years old. We give thanks for that, amen? The fact that he got 86 years of life and got to live it pretty much the way he wanted to. And he used to be a referee, if you read the obituary, and a good one at that. But he got to do what he loved doing, and God gave him 86 years of life. That's something to be thankful for this Thanksgiving season. And we do that. I want to give you an assignment this morning. I want you to write it down. If you think that life has been difficult for you, I want you to look up a guy's name. His name is Horatio Spafford. He wrote a song. It's in your hymn books. It is well with my soul. Now, you may not know the story behind Horatio Spafford's song, but it was about his family. His son got pneumonia and died, and then he lost four of his daughters out the Atlantic Ocean, and his wife was the only one left, and he wrote this song. When peace like a river attends my soul, it is well with my soul. And on his way across the Atlantic, after all this had happened, he had the boat stop where his daughters had perished in the watery graves of the Atlantic Ocean. And he wrote down this song, It Is Well With My Soul. How do you do that? How can it be well with your soul? How can things go where you're happy and you're smiling and you're even singing a song and you got a hop in your step when you just lost four daughters? Well, here's the only thing I can figure out. He had a top-notch relationship with Jesus Christ. And he realized that someday he was going to see his daughter again. His daughters again. His four daughters and his son again. He's going to see him again. So it is well with his soul. Let me ask you this morning. Is it well with your soul? When the tides of trouble knock you down, is it well with your soul? When you make a mistake and God disciplines if you're that mistake, is it well with your soul? When you lose a loved one, especially if they're a Christian, is it well with your soul? When you're persecuted for your faith, is it well with your soul? I want you to know it can be when you remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. Hebrews 12:11 says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 12:7, "To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulty. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Paul was given a thorn in the flesh. How many feel like you've been given a thorn in the flesh in your life? I think all of us have been given at least one thorn in the flesh. And God says basically to you the same thing he says to Paul: "I will not take it away. I do not want you to become conceited. Because when you are weak, in your weakest moment, you rely upon me and you are strong." Amen. I want you to know that this is one of the toughest verses for me. Because I do not rejoice in weakness. I do not take great joy and great pride in weakness. I'm not there yet. But I'm working on it. Are you working on it? And when I get there, you'll know. Because I'll have this funny smile on my face. I'll have a jump in my step and a, what do they say? A kick in your giddy up. I like that. So I'm not there yet. I'm working on it. I think you're working on it too. The psalmist writes in Psalm 119, verse 71, "It is good for me to be afflicted, so that I might learn your degrees." Does anyone want to fly? You ever feel like that? I'm being afflicted so that I can learn about your degrees. Learn to be stronger. James 1:4. Let's back up a little bit, begin with verse 1. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything." And Peter says in 1 Peter 4:12, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of the glory of God rests on you." It's tough teaching. These verses are not easy. He says, be joyful, be happy. Be abundantly joyful. When hardships come your way, don't worry about it. Just be happy. You remember Bobby Farron? "Don't worry, be happy." Whatever happened to him? I haven't seen him for years. But he had a good song. It came at a very good time in America. "Don't worry, be happy." If you're a Christian this morning, don't worry about it. Be happy. Paul says in Romans 8:28, one of my favorites, "And we know that in all things, both good and bad, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." You can also put this: "And we know that through all things." And we'll get to that in a minute. And if you're going through something right now that's unpleasant and even unbearable at times, trust me when I tell you, if you are a born-again Christian, God is working some kind of good in you right now. So be joyful. Give thanks today, no matter what's going on, because God is always faithful. Well, there's a third thing, and I want us to look at the dynamics of thanksgiving. Paul says in Ephesians 5:20, "Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Don't miss that. Because in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the dynamics of our thanksgiving. We don't think much about Jesus Christ on Thanksgiving. We think about the pilgrims and turkey and dressing and pumpkin pie and praise God when someone has coconut cream pie on our table. Praise God for that. We don't think about Jesus Christ much, do we? But that's what this verse is all about. And it can read also like Paul's letter: "Always give thanks to God the Father through everything in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When you go through the river of hardship, Jesus is with you. Now, can I tell you something to do this Thanksgiving? Stop blaming God when difficult times come in your life. Will you please stop doing that? Amen. That's not God. That's the devil. God's not going to bring hardship and persecution. He's not going to cause you to be tempted. He's not going to cause you to fall and slip and stay down. He's in your corner. He's with you through those hard times. It's the devil. Everybody say, the devil made me do it. Everybody say that. Okay, so what did you do last night? You need to tell me. Don't answer that. The devil made you do it. It's not Jesus. Jesus has been in your corner. And through those hard times, those down times, those through the river times, Jesus Christ is going with you through the water. Historians tell us that Paul was beheaded, that Peter was crucified. How was he crucified? Upside down, because he didn't feel worthy to be crucified like Jesus did. When he's being crucified, I'm sure he thought back to the moment that he denied Christ how many times? Three times. He was going that planet over and over his head. And he said, don't crucify me like my Lord. Crucify me upside down. So he was crucified upside down because he did not feel worthy. Paul knew he was going to die. He probably even knew he was going to be decapitated. Yet he continued to write till up until his dying day, trying to convert as many, including Nero, to Christ as he could, but he still died, and he's in heaven with God right now. And I'm sure sometime near his death he wrote these words, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Through Christ. Christ goes with you whatever you're going through. Just a week ago I was on social media, and some guy had wrote this. I don't know if there is a God. Actually, I'm convinced that because of the problems in life, there is no God at all. I'm convinced of that. And I wrote back to him one verse. Romans 1:20. And it says this. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood for what has been made, so that all men are without excuse. You cannot wake up in the morning and watch the sunrise and say there is no God. You cannot go to bed at night and watch the sun go down and say there is no God. You cannot hope for a Big Bang Theory that this world just came into being just like this. It's like a tornado hitting a salvage yard and all the parts coming back together. That's the chances of a Big Bang Theory taking place. And I actually believe whoever said it takes more faith not to believe in God than it does to believe in God. How many believe that? I'm going to tell you something today. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and if you don't believe that God created the world, and if you don't believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross over 2,000 years ago, then there's something definitely wrong with you. Seriously wrong. Colossians 3:15, Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body we are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And here it is again, sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude to the Lord in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here it is again, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I want to close with something you may have heard or may not have heard. Have you ever heard of the name of Rudyard Kipling? You ever heard of him? Well, he's one of the most famous poets that has ever written poetry down through the years. And I don't listen to a lot of poetry. I like Robert Frost, but I don't listen or look at a lot of poetry. But someone said he had become so famous that every word he wrote into poetic form was worth $100 a piece. Ever heard that before? Well, some kids thought, well, we'll be clever. We're going to write Robert Kipling, Rudyard Kipling. And we're going to say, hey, Rudyard, give us your best word. And they give $100 in an envelope. Well, he sent an envelope back to him, and it had one word in it. Thanks. Sounds kind of cheesy, but I want you to know, I don't know if he was giving thanks for the $100 bill or he was giving thanks because he knew deep down in his heart that we have so much to be thankful for in our world today. Can all of you say thanks on three? One, two, three. Thanks. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you're here this morning and you're a Christian, you have so much to be thankful for. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, oh, you have some things to be thankful for, but not at the same level as a Christian. We have to be thankful for something so much larger, the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, that we accepted him as our Lord and Savior, that we walked the aisle. We said, I believe that Jesus is a Christ, the Son of the living God. We were baptized, we were buried with him in Christian baptism, and we came up with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And man, if that don't make you thankful, then your wood is all wet. Well, happy Thanksgiving to you all. I want to encourage you to take time out to give thanks for all the many blessings that God has given us. Let's pray. Father God, Thanksgiving's a big thing in America. It doesn't trump Christmas, obviously, but it's still big. And we don't give thanks just because the pilgrims and what they did over 1621, 1621. We give thanks for more than that. We give thanks for your word. We give thanks for the fact that we can come to you in our prayers and talk to you anytime, anywhere that we want. Lord, more importantly, we give thanks that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And Lord, someday when Christ parts the sky and when he raptures the church, we're going to live forever. Forever and ever because of what Jesus did for us. And Lord, if we can't give thanks for that, please forgive us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.